The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Since 08.
Ooh, that's not good. Say that again. Since 08. Food like half hour from Ball Arena to Orchard. Just a short little walk.
That's so smart.
Right through the double tree. Went right through it.
And, is that what you're doing going to the game tonight?
And that's how I'm going to go back to.
That's so smart.
Ditch the car already downtown, so that's solid. And we'll see where the night takes us. But I want the story. Zach, I said you'd find an angel. Who's your angel, Zach, by?
I got Bearcat Jim, is all I have to say, Zach. That's all I have to say.
The angel, all angels aren't created equally. There's one, you ever hear of Michael the Archangel?
Okay, sure.
I got my own archangel. His name is Bearcat Jim.
Bearcat Jim! Game ball for Bearcat Jim!
He bought tickets last night to go with Stoke and Cameron and had a change of heart this morning. And
what?
I get a text
message. How does that happen, Stoke?
What do you mean a change of heart?
He had a change of heart. Maybe he doesn't want to be downtown. You know, he's a little bit longer in the tooth. Maybe he was just, a little bit more aggressive last night saying, yeah, I'll go after you've been hanging out with Stokely for 4 hours on a golf course. He's like, yeah, I'll go. Maybe he just had change of heart. And obviously it's just
time out. Are you getting these for free?
He's on scholarship.
The full Richie.
How about that?
The full Richie.
That's right.
But this is like a full. This is the full scholarship plus the NIL.
So this is every man for himself. Is that what you're telling me?
So where are the? Do you want to say where you're sitting or not?
I swear to God, couldn't tell you.
We're in 300. I think we're kind of middle 300. The lower
last 300, row.
Like
30, huh?
No, not last row. I think it was a 303, something like that.
Okay.
Second row.
That's good.
Yeah. I think they're going to be solid seats, good seats.
Yeah, first couple rows, 300 level, near center ice.
Wait a second. Time out again. Lana? No? Not interested?
Her name's Lana.
Lana? Sorry. I'm from Boston.
My wife, Lana? Yeah. No, she didn't get the invite. It's me and my son.
Well, no, but it's you, your son, and another person.
Well, yeah. Yeah, Zach. I mean, it was going to be Bearcat. Bearcat paid for the ticket, didn't want to go, and so he texted me this morning and said, I think I want to give my ticket to Zach.
And then I get told there's no room on the door. That's what happens here.
Oh, are you guys shutting out Matt?
That's what happened, Zach. What happened, Zach? It's all right. It's okay. Every man for himself. I see.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
What am I stepping into here?
Oh, my gosh. Well, just an incredibly generous gift, really, from Bear. Obviously, my initial reaction was, no, I can't accept that. Then the second reaction was, I'll just pay you what you paid for it.
No, I can't accept this. But you sure? Sure. I'll definitely. Yes.
Here's who's going to be in the building then. You and Stoke and Cameron. That's awesome. Stink's going to be in the building. Myself and Rachel will be in the building. Who else? Orlando's going to be. Well, I guess Orlando's going to be in the building, right?
Yeah. My guess would be Orlando would be there. He's been there almost every step of the way.
Well, we're going to be well represented inside there tonight. That's awesome.
I
love it.
That's exactly right, man. We're really looking forward to it. And
what are your predictions quickly? You probably already said it, but just to recap.
5-2 for me.
5-2, Stoke?
No, I said 5-2. You said
4-1. I said 5-3. You said 4-1,
knucklehead. I said 4-1. But you said 5-3.
Hey, is that an exact score? A little play there, Stoke? You're on a hot streak.
Once I call the score, I got to play it. So
yeah.
I had 5-2, and I switched it to 5-3 at the last second.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
You're 4-1, Zach.
I'm 4-1.
I'm 5-3. 4-1? I'm 4-1.
So Darcy has a day, huh?
I think this defense has a day.
Okay.
This defense has a day. I think it's smothering. I think you're back on a fast track here. The ice that they're accustomed to, they're already talking about the altitude and stuff like that. I just think that there's no professional hockey team that's played more hockey in the last 3 years than the Tampa Bay Lightning. And you got to, you mentioned the physical fatigue for sure.
Yeah.
You saw, what did your eyes tell you in that third period in overtime, the Lightning in the last game?
Oh, they had them.
They were cooked.
Yep,
they were cooked physically. The Avs are the younger team. Every generation in a jungle, the young, hungry lion ends up taking over the old lion, and the Avalanche are Simba, and the Lightning are Scar, and the universe is gonna balance itself out tonight, and the Avs are gonna hoist the cup, and I'm gonna be there, and I'm gonna tell my kids about it many years from now.
All right, last one. You guys got a few hours.
Yeah, what do you think we're going to be up to, D-Mac? We got a checkerboard set up here at Blake Street. We're going to play checkers.
All right, well, we'll let you guys go. That sounds like what a blast. Can't wait to follow along, and we'll talk to you fellas later.
All right, sounds good, guys. Everyone have a great weekend. Shout out everyone here at Blake Street Tavern. We met a dozen, maybe two dozen listeners. We got folks flew in from Alaska that are here. Man, we met so many great listeners, and just shout out everyone here at Blake Street Tavern for today.
All right, wow, man, exciting.
You have fun at that game tonight, Zach. You have a good time.
All right, we'll see you there, Matt.
Thanks to our listeners in Englewood for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day. Well, you know.
Hey, I get it. Better offer comes along. You got to scoop it up.
So what are you going to do?
We'll see. I'm going to be watching this market. I'm going to be watching that text line. You never know.
Okay.
You never know.
You never know.
You never know. We had some people yesterday.
You never know.
So if you're holding on to those... One of those tickets, you drop us a line here.
The you know, I didn't even realize Mike Chambers brought it up to JT Comfort today that there hasn't been a series clinching game in Denver since 2008, maybe even 2007, something like that.
Because of the Red Sox.
No, like, well, with the Avs, you know, there just hasn't been
a series clinching.
Yeah,
game.
Where they've been in the playoffs, they've clinched at home. You know, in any round of the playoffs for 14, 15 years.
Well, here's a more interesting stat, in my opinion.
Oh, well, I thought I had a nice stat.
Yeah, but this is also a good one. Well, since 2008.
So you don't have to rip on my stat to pump up your stat.
Well, you know, I didn't have to.
All right,
but
go ahead.
The opportunity was there.
All right.
Teams are 4-8 since 2008 with a chance to...
So that could be games...
4, 5, 6, or 7.
Oh, okay. That's a little weird then, because it doesn't kind of narrow it down.
Why?
I lead 3-0, I lose 1. You know, I come back and win the series. I'm up 3-1,
sure.
And I lose. You know what I'd be interested in, if you can try to dig it out? Because we were, me and the Muggles, media Muggles down there today. I think it's something like the teams that lead three games to one.
Oh, yeah, I got it right here.
Are well, 1-34.
1-35.
1-35, and the one time they blew it was 1942.
Yeah, World War II. You know why they blew it? Because the other team got drafted mid-series.
Is that right?
No.
Oh,
but
okay.
That's how long ago it's been, D-Mac.
All right, but the question that we couldn't figure out, maybe we need a little research here. I understand that if you lead 3-1, you are prohibitive favorites to win the whole thing. However, in those series, so there have been 36 series like that, how many times has the team that's been up 3-1 won game 5?
That's a good question. That I'd have to dig up.
Right. And don't forget, and I'm not raining on anybody's parade because I think the Avs win, and we can dig into why specifically, and I'll tell you about the morning skate, little news from there today. Listen, there's no way I'm calling it easy or early necessarily because I'm still scarred by that Blues game.
You want to know one of those eight teams that did lose since 08 with a chance to clinch at home? The 08 Red Wings with Darren Helm. They lost 4-3 in triple overtime and then had to go on the road to win game 6.
Okay.
So there's experience
How many more games are like that? And they did go on to win. They did go on to win.
Yeah, they won game 6 on the road.
And the Avs were up 3-1 on the Blues. They're up 3-0. Nathan MacKinnon had a game for the ages. Should have been, you know, should have won, right?
Right.
Lost that one in overtime.
Should have won, yes.
And then I'm trolling the streets of St. Louis the next morning, like, how did I get here?
Right. Twilight Zone?
That was surreal. Of all the odd moments of traveling with the Avs this season, that might have been the strangest one.
When the overtime goal went in, it was literally the first thing I thought of is, oh my gosh, he's got to be at the airport in a few hours already.
Yeah, I was in the streets of St. Louis by, you know, 10 o'clock the next morning.
Brutal.
That's the way it goes. I don't mind. Don't get me wrong. No, nobody needs to feel sorry for me, or as they would say in
Canada, we don't.
Sorry.
We don't.
They don't need to feel sorry, boot. The process that I had against me. I don't know. I think it's over tonight, though. I do. I really do. And we can dig into it with the morning skate and go over some of the news. And, man, are you pumped? Come on now.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, let's go.
I'm ready.
And whatever your preparations are, however you're getting through the day, man, we're going to match that excitement for the time that we're on. And you're doing double duty today, which is awesome.
Most likely.
I cannot wait for what's happening tonight. Can't wait to spend this time with you. Let's go. It's the Drive on the Fan.
It's our Mission 16W Cup Final Pregame, presented by TNT Home Services, getting you set for tonight's Game 5 as Colorado looks to close out Tampa Bay. Here's the Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
We are, well, and it probably will start at 6:15. So we are T-minus 4 hours. Mark it. Jot it down. Take a note. Put it in an alarm clock. Scream it at a neighbor. 4 hours till they drop the puck in what is shaping up to be a historical night at Ball Arena and for the city of Denver. Matt Smith and for Tyler. Figuring out if he's going to make it to the game or not. What kind of financial investment are you thinking about? We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
You just got to let me know if you pull the trigger or not sometime.
Yeah, I think I need to get better seats than them since they're going to sit the 300 level.
Better than Zach and Stokely.
Yeah.
Because they gave you the...
Yeah, exactly.
Gave you the Heisman.
Yeah, well, listen, let's not give him that much credit.
Zach did, because let's face it, Stokely was never going to
take it. Oh, absolutely not. Right. No, of course not. He didn't even want to take Zach. I mean, it was Zach had to get lucky. Yeah, no, for me, I'm gonna get a nicer seat and look up and wave. You know, maybe bring him a pair of binoculars. Might be nice.
Well, you just let me know what you do over there, Mr. Smith.
I will.
Mr. Smith goes to...
It's a fluid situation.
I'm just in the... my plan, I already left my car down there.
That was smart.
Because I just, you know, really I'm going to hit the light rail at the Orchard Station and just... Because
this traffic is a mess.
I'm nervous enough about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it is a Friday and it's technically a work day, although I wonder how offices are really doing right now. What's your office like? I mean, are people paying attention? I mean, what is happening down there? How are the downtown bars preparing? I got a cop buddy told me they're already greasing up light poles.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
They're prepared, or I guess. I don't know who gets that job. I mean, who gets to be the light pole greaser?
Me when I'm not here.
Is that right? Is that your side hustle?
Yeah.
You're a light pole greaser?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what's happening. We already know what the plans are in terms of when they're thinking about parades. That's out there. And if they win tonight, the speculation is Tuesday. If it goes 6 or 7, the speculation would be Thursday. I can't jinx anything by mentioning things that are already mentioned in social media.
No.
That's not a secret. That's just out there.
No, the jinx doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't, not in this series, because these games we've had two blowouts on either side, one each, and two overtime games. So I think at this point, these games have been so unpredictable, I think it's anti-DMAC jinxable.
We'll hear from John Cooper and Jared Bednar. Cool's the other side of the pill. Let me tell you about JB. Right, everybody wears a suit in, but you don't have to wear a suit out. Isn't that kind of a quirky thing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to wear a suit coming in, but you can leave in anything. Which, why would you have a change of clothes? But okay, yeah, an office could do.
You mean like the players can leave the game? Is that, or leave a practice?
I'm just telling you what JB did. Okay, you come in a suit, but he comes out. I see him strapping, tall. You know, he looks like a Bond villain.
See, I think he looks more Bond-ish than Bond villain.
Don't you think the Bond villains and Bond kind of, well, maybe not all the time.
No. I feel like he's much more of a leading man. He has that look. You know, and so when I see him, everyone I know comments on that. I was watching one of the playoff games. I went home and watched him at home. My mom was like, wow, he's a good-looking guy. Bednar. Jared Bednar.
I see him walking out. Man,
it's JB. His initials are JB. He can't be a villain. He's got to be Bond.
He's wearing that nice tight-fitting golf shirt tucked into those stylish shorts and flip-flops. Confident in the flip-flops walking out.
Long hair. Don't care.
Walks past a couple people. What's up? Bednar. Jared Bednar. I see the car. I was curious. What kind of car does JB roll in? Oh, and I was not disappointed.
Oh, good. The Aston Martin?
I won't give it away because I don't want to, you know, have people stalking JB in his ride. But, you know.
The BMW 7 Series with the remote control from
the
phone.
I'm not giving it away. But let me tell you, for the way he presents itself, the vehicle he was rolling in.
He does just fine.
Spot on. The rims. Shiny. Scream. Two doors. I don't think I'm losing two doors.
No.
Four doors. Four doors?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
You think I have a kids back there?
What are you? I'm Bednar. I don't need four doors.
You see this thing? I'm not putting children in the back seat.
What are you thinking?
Just me and a babe.
Yukon or a big, huge... No. We're going to hug the road, baby.
Right.
We're going to make some turns in this baby.
Oh, yeah. All performance.
Then in his press conference, you stressing out? You freaking out? What? No. Process.
Just another game.
Another game. What? At the end, because he was asked the same question like four times. The Muggles really want you to freak out, by the way. The media people want you to...
Well, they just expect someone who hasn't been to a Stanley Cup clinching game would have some nerves, right? Or maybe give them a story. But
didn't feel it today.
Not at all. Not at all.
Instead, you know, and we'll hear again in a little bit, but...
Does he ever look nervous? I've never seen him look nervous.
I got to say, one of the great things about JB is they really do trust their process. And they, although today was different in the skate, man, let me tell you.
Tell me.
It was different.
Lay it on me.
Well, now the Lightning, they barely do anything for a morning skate. Really, seriously.
Yeah.
This is the fifth morning skate I've watched of the Lightning. Only one time, one out of five morning skates, have they even done anything resembling some sort of teamwork. Other than that, John Cooper's not even on the ice with them. Like, it's kind of like, hey, if you guys want to, you know, do something for yourselves for whatever reason, we got the time on the ice, do it, don't do it. Vasilevskiy, he's sleeping. He's not worried about any of that.
This is the third year in their championship run. At this point, we know the recipe for success. Let's just keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, but my guess is that that's the way they've always been. That it's not just because they're there. This is just how they are. That's my guess. But
they're also the third oldest team in the league.
The Avs have been different. The Avs have treated morning skates like a pretty significant, you know, run through, at least on special teams, on power play and penalty kill. In fact, I can't even remember a morning skate where they didn't do that, but today they did not. Today was, like, seriously, yeah, Bednar was on the ice, but just for a little bit, like, barely had time to lace him up. They never worked on any real significant team things whatsoever. Landeskog maintenance, Kadri maintenance, McKinnon maintenance.
Saw that.
First time I haven't seen him, okay? I'm not saying it's the first time ever or he hasn't taken a maintenance morning skate off. It's just me, okay?
Yeah.
From what I've been following. And it did sort of surprise me, and it's a stark difference from game one of the morning skate where he was like the third guy on the ice because you can't beat Cogs and you can't beat Dermy. There's no way. But he was out there early and he was power skating and working on stuff. I mean, he just had some nerves to burn in game one.
I have an ear to the ground across the city, and like you like to say, a little birdie dropped me a line this morning and said he and Landeskog were spotted getting coffee together this morning.
Oh, no
and
kidding.
And said that he sees them pretty regularly and they're typically together in the same car.
Well, that's cool. Hey, man, it was just a little unusual. I saw him limping out of the game after game two. I'm not trying to set off any kind of alarm bells.
They just played an overtime game on the road, and it's been a really long playoff run. I've got zero problem with it.
So we're going through, and we're like, okay, there's four guys here, not here. And then we're like, oh, wait, make that three. Because Andrei Burakovsky came out. It was a very short morning skate period and sort of near the end of the very short skate, Berkey came out. In fact, Berkey came out when Bednar, I think, had even walked off. Usually, guys that do that actually are not participating in the game. But the skate was so kind of different and quirky, period. It really seriously may have been a case of him getting whatever treatment he needed to get and him just getting his gear on. I mean, that's how kind of loose and relaxed the skate was. They did not work on power play. They did not work on penalty kill. It really was more of a just, you know, shake it out, get some shots off, that sort of thing. That being said, Frankie was there. Kemper was there. I mean, Kemper, you know, got shots in. You know, he looks like he's good to go. But Berkey was there. And we'll hear from Bednar here in a little bit about his prognosis to the degree that Jared will even talk about it. But let's get into it, because I think Berkey's going to play.
Oh, boy. He's back.
Well, you know what's funny? I think everybody's healthy tonight, technically, then. I mean, everybody's, like, kind of bumped and bruised and that sort of thing, but technically everybody's healthy.
If you've got a heartbeat and you think you can go,
right?
Is a possible clinching game, you're playing.
Okay, we'll dig into that. And then, John, I really do like John Cooper. And he gave me an incredibly honest answer about what it's like to be in this position. But he also rolled out, like, another sort of woe is me sort of thing.
John Boy.
He hit another, like, cry me a river sort of statement today. We'll get into that coming up next.
It's our Mission 16W Cup Final pregame, presented by TNT Home Services, getting you set for tonight's Game 5 as Colorado looks to close out Tampa Bay. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac. When I make you an offer you can't refuse, you gotta take it, D-Mac.
My answer to you would be sure. The chaos that may ensue in downtown may make it,
I'll find you.
Complicated.
Don't worry about it. I have my ways.
You gotta, you know, boy, that might be a jinx if we're talking about, you know.
We put a tracker on you at the beginning of the playoffs when you were on the road like this, you know. And we just had to make sure that you were all right, you know? Kind of like the tracker you put in a car or maybe in your wallet in case you lose it. You didn't know that?
Mm-hmm. You want to hear some John Cooper crying again today?
Well, I'm curious to hear what he said today, because you came in here and told me he was at it again. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, you'll hear.
There, KJ?
You'll hear. And I said, okay. I don't know what it could possibly be. He already walked it back yesterday, and I thought he did a good job. I mean, I understand where he's coming from, being that this is the time of year when emotions run higher than ever. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate the fact that he owned up to it. I thought that was really classy because, I mean, look, Craig Berube was given a second chance, and he just failed utterly.
And Craig Berube is a Luddite to
I'm just saying that
Craig Berube is just
the Avs have now faced two different opponents who've had to have head coaches come out and respond to previous statements that they've made.
I'm sure Craig Berube, obviously, he's got the skins on the wall. I don't doubt that, but I mean, those are two different dudes. Just the way they Craig Berube's very old school. And Cooper's not. Cooper's, you realize where he came from?
Yeah.
I mean, it's wild.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
He was
story.
Already just in the regular world. He was.
An attorney, no?
Yeah. He was. And there's some rich guy that he played hockey with who asked him, like, to coach his kid's team or something.
Yeah.
And it went from there to, like, in like 5 years, he was, like, in the NHL or something. It was, like, this, like, ridiculous ascent.
Like the anti-Bednar. You know what I mean? Like the bizarro,
totally.
The bizarro Bednar.
Totally. I mean, one thing that might keep Jared kind of calm and cool, he has grinded on this for a long time. He has had to, he didn't play in the NHL. He was a tough guy, minor league hockey, basically. He, you know, went that route. Didn't get him into the NHL, Matt. Got him around the NHL, but didn't get him into it. And so the route he took was kind of wild. I mean, how many other guys are going to take a job seriously 6 weeks before the season when Patrick Waugh melts down on Joe Sakic about personnel? I quit.
Guys who are motivated and want that opportunity.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, slim pickings at that point.
You're not
Joe. I mean,
I see what you're saying. It's not the
and you're set up to fail. I mean, anybody with some sort of NHL pedigree, first of all, you're not going to be available. Second of all, you're probably just going to say, you know what, let's see how this goes. Talk to me next year. I'm not saying there aren't a lot of other guys, Matt, that would, you know, there's tons of other guys that would take an NHL job. I'm just talking about the quality of guys. The fact that they found somebody like Bednar in that particular situation, and frankly, the fact that they were willing to, okay, go through a 48-point season and just still believe in a guy that could find it at the last minute, it's pretty remarkable.
Well, the patience overall, I think you bring up a great point. The patience overall that the front office had with this core. I mean, that's three straight years of losing in the second round. There are definitely other teams in the league that would have become impatient and maybe looked to mix up the core, but Joe didn't. Joe held true to Bednar and to the core. He gave Jared another chance to prove himself, and look what he's done.
That's been awesome.
It's really cool. And
Cooper's totally different. Cooper is a super smart guy. He's a hell of a coach. I mean, he's talk about those skins on that wall. But here he is again today with a little, we may have to have the violin even out for this, but here we go with John Cooper.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Like, I think one of the things that hurt us, especially in game two, is, like, I truly believe the altitude hurt us. You know, like, we just weren't used to it. You kind of get away with it that early, game one, but I think it probably stung us a bit in game two. You know, Colorado, they've got a great crowd. Like, the energy in the building's awesome, and
you're damn right it is.
Feed off that first 5-10 minutes, and you really have to be engaged in your game, because then they start getting momentum, and unfortunately they scored early in these games, so kind of put us on our heels, made us chase the game a little bit. So to me, that's a pivotal part of tonight, is, you know, making sure that we're the ones trying to do some pushing here instead of them against us, and, you know, not giving up those early goals, not giving up those early power plays, and, you know, that should, you know, bode well in our favor.
It's a good place to start, John.
He used the altitude excuse. Listen again, because you might have missed it in the beginning.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Like, I think one of the things that hurt us, especially in game two, is, like, I truly believe the altitude hurt us. You know, like,
oh my God.
He's not wrong. It definitely did hurt.
Stop.
You tell me in the second game, in game two, it didn't play a factor?
At?
Yes, D-Mac.
You were here.
Yes, sir.
To acclimatize. We're not talking about Sherpas on the top of Kilimanjaro here. Okay? You got here on Monday.
Yeah.
Because you had to get here early because media day was a big deal, which was on Tuesday.
By the way, so did Edmonton. And Edmonton looked fine in game one. And then they got shut out in game two as well.
You played the game, which was an overtime game for both teams on Wednesday. You had 2 days off until you would to play game. No, Matt. The altitude at that point for incredibly skilled, best shape of their life guys. No, Matt. That is not an excuse. It is not.
I don't think he was making an excuse. I think he was.
What?
I don't think it was an excuse.
Oh, let me play it again.
Yeah, go ahead. Let me hear.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Like, I think one of the things that hurt us, especially in game two, is, like, I truly believe the altitude hurt us. You know?
Yeah.
That's not an excuse.
That's not an excuse? Well, look.
Sounds like an excuse.
To me, that's him trying to analyze it and rationalize it. Because, quite frankly, D-Mac, they ran into a much, much, much better team, especially playing at home. And altitude could be a factor in that, but I'll tell you
one thing. After 6 days of being here?
Yeah, because that team is on a six-day road trip, and they're not used to that.
We weren't asking them to slug a backpack up Mount Elbert there,
but where's the highest place altitude-wise that Tampa plays regularly?
Like, who cares?
Miami? Sunrise?
Miami. Okay, well, then you're going to get your butts kicked tonight if that really was a factor.
If you really think
after being here for 6 days and you feel like you were poorly acclimatized and altitude had a factor after 6 days of being here, oh, hey, good luck today, I guess.
Yeah. That's the point, D-Mac. It's less,
you're in trouble.
D-Mac, it's less than 48 hours after an overtime game that they look absolutely gassed at the end of. I have no doubt in my mind it will play a factor tonight. Tampa's played tons of hockey the last 3 years. Short off seasons. Again, again, was it an excuse? I didn't hear it that way, but I could see how you did. To me, the altitude is a factor because Tampa's the third oldest team in the league, and they played tons. No one's played more hockey the last three seasons. So I get it. And also, they ran into a better team. And all I have to say to John Cooper is better take deeper breaths because it's not getting any easier, D-Mac.
All right, well, the altitude.
And the energy is going to be, the energy will be more of a factor again tonight. I'm glad he brought that up because he is right.
Hey, cool, man. So it's the that's really something.
I think
that is now the scientists are coming out on the text line.
Yeah.
You know.
And what are they saying?
Oh, well, they're all scientists on the text line. You know,
right.
It's this, that, the other.
They're
thing
scientists and doctors.
Right. Yeah. Check my hemoglobin.
Mm-hmm. But they're not ticket angels. I haven't seen them yet.
Sorry, Matt. Yeah, you cannot spend the next 3 hours just begging.
Oh, I'm not begging. I'm not
no,
begging.
No, you are.
No, I'm not.
No, you just did.
Okay.
Literally.
Well, was that a beg?
Yeah.
Okay.
If it happens, it happens.
I'm not worried about it.
You mentioned it.
I'm not worried about it.
You're somewhat worried
about it. I've got something on the line here. We'll see.
Okay. How about this? When you figure it out, just let me know.
I will.
Other than that.
I'll keep you apprised.
Other than that. No, you're not allowed to, you know, beg about it on the air.
Look.
Look. Yeah, okay. All right. We'll hear from Jared Bednar in terms of there was something interesting with Bedsy today in terms of what he was repeatedly being asked. And we'll give you that. And John Cooper, I got to give him some credit. He did have kind of an interesting answer to what is, I think, a much more legitimate excuse than the altitude, which is really the grind that they've been on for 3 years, okay? And is it really a sense of relief or joy? And I think, Matt, actually, it is kind of a soulless pursuit to a degree. I'll explain coming up next.
It's our Mission 16W Cup Final pregame, presented by TNT Home Services, getting you set for tonight's Game 5 as Colorado looks to close out Tampa Bay. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
What's going to happen in this series? Well, maybe it's already happened. Maybe we're done with it. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Hey, maybe I ought to eat some crow for bagging on our guy Darcy here. Not that I didn't say I didn't understand the logic and rationale to start him, but definitely way to go out there. And it wasn't just me. It was plenty of people who felt uneasy about Darcy heading into it. But way to go out there and step up when they needed you most. That looked like the Darcy that we saw the middle of the regular season. That looked like a guy who was dialed in. There was a different look in his eyes, in my opinion. And they needed every last part of it. In fact, expected goals saved above average, he had a higher number than Vasilevsky did in that game. I mean, that was his best game of the playoffs, bar none, not even a conversation. And to step up with it on the road in game four, a game you had to have, a game you had to have after that performance in game three, tough as nails, heck of a bounce back.
Here's Jared Bednar from earlier today. First of all, the guys that weren't there.
Yeah, everybody that didn't skate this morning is maintenance.
That's Landeskog, McKinnon, Kadri, not Burakovsky. He did skate. Now, that's interesting because he said maintenance, but Burakovsky did skate. So was that a rehab skate or is Burakovsky good to go? And it was a little confusing, Matt, because he didn't come out with the fellas at the beginning, but it was a very short morning skate as well. So I think it's I think that's kind of a coin flip. But if you're Berkey, I mean, come on, man.
Well, didn't he call him an option or a possibility for mm-hmm. tonight? Isn't that what he called him?
Yeah, he's a possibility for tonight.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. From the horse's mouth himself.
Yeah, he's a possibility for tonight. Mm-hmm.
That's exciting because he had a really solid first two games of this cup final. And for them, his absence was definitely more significant because Kadri was so limited. And Kadri's goal at the end made up for what was a game where he gutted it out. But the amount that he really contributed, I felt like he was just clearly hampered. He's not 100%.
Oh,
he's
not even close. Not even close. In fact, as we were watching it in game four, we're like, wow, I wonder if they should just put him on the bench because maybe he's even doing a little bit more harm than good. However, once you do get it to overtime, once that happens, Matt, forget everything else. You simply just want inherently your best players out on the ice.
No question.
Because now you're not playing a full game. You're just hanging in there for moments. And Cadre knew how to cheat, get on the ice as soon as he could, like nobody else. No, you know what Cadre knew how to do?
Will you explain that one to us tomorrow?
Cadre knew how to play hockey. And the way you play hockey is you anticipate a line change. And yeah, okay, you fudge things just maybe a little bit if you're standing on the ice, see your guy coming off. And listen, Matt, if they want to make that a more cemented rule, draw some lines on the ice about, you know, you can't leave until this guy gets in this zone, go ahead and ruin hockey, I guess, if you want to do that. That's why it's not reviewable, and that's why it's subjective, because it's the flow of the game. And seriously, if you really want to create, like, the change zone area, you're going to ruin hockey with some stupid stuff like that. Cooper's whining about that was just so ridiculous, and he did back off of it because he realized how dumb he was going to look. It's silly. That's the nature of hockey.
Don't you think that he should have taken a moment, told the PR guy, just give me a second, and thought it through before he went out there?
I'll tell you why he couldn't do that. That's a good observation. I heard other people talk about that today, but let me tell you why he actually literally couldn't do it. Because the way it works in the Stanley Cup playoffs, there's a main room for both coaches. Usually, at every other round, Matt, the coaches just go to their own places, and you just got to make a choice. Even in the Western Conference Final, okay?
They're separate press conferences.
Correct. But in the Stanley Cup Final, they just keep everything in the same room because there's just
so much media.
There's just so much media that it's, and boy, you should have seen that cramped room in Tampa. I mean, it was ridiculous. So what they do, the losing coach talks first to get it out of the way, and then the winning coach and players come on. So he really didn't have a choice. He didn't have that luxury because he had to go first. And Bednar and the guys, they're just waiting at that point. They're certainly ready to go.
But at the same time, couldn't he have just said, hold on, just give me a second. Just give me a minute here.
I don't think it would have made a difference.
Maybe not.
And he had to go when he had to go. What he probably shouldn't have done is he probably shouldn't have spent time looking at the play like his assistants wanted him to. He should have blown that off. And then he could have come to the presser and he really could have said, I just haven't. And that happens all the time, by the way.
Of course.
Coaches all the time say, I haven't seen it. I'll have to look at it. I can tell you tomorrow or something like that. Happens all the time. I didn't really see it. I have to look it on film. All the time.
Every sport.
But his assistants, they didn't do him any favors, his assistants, because they're like, look at this, look at this, look at this, and then they're looking at it.
Yeah, like I said, it was a bad look, and I'm glad that he walked it back the next morning. Again, I understand the gripe. It's a discretionary call, D-Mac. When you have subjective calls, they will always draw ire from one side, just like the first goal of the game when Kemper's helmet came off, and it was at the discretion of the on-ice crew that there was an imminent scoring chance, which there was.
Well, that's just a dumb rule. But
they're both discretionary. That's my point. And so you were talking about that it being a dumb rule, and I'm telling you that it's the same thing. It's a discretionary rule. And that's a different topic for a different time.
The difference is a goalie's face mask coming off happens every once in a blue moon. There's something like 120 line changes per team per game where you theoretically could call too many men on the ice. So, you know,
but there's also
there's that.
The other part of that rule is that it prevents goalies from ripping off their face masks in case there's like they're in trouble. Like, that's the other part of it. Because if you blow the play dead and he has a loose strap knocks it off
all
himself.
All right, fine. But on this particular instance, a shot, and anybody could have seen that, let's not go down that wormhole. They can change things later. Here is Cooper, though, today, because I did ask him. He was going on and on and on about, like, one theme for the Lightning has been how many times in a row they've been there, establishing that legacy, you know, trying to win for the third time in a row, clearly establishing how much hockey they've played. And when you just, I'm telling you this, Matt, when you're around these guys, I don't know, at the end of the day when you win, I'm sure you're happy, but I do wonder if there's a bigger sense of relief. So you can feel that sort of tension on the Lightning.
So Coach, following that then, is it more of a sense of joy or almost it sounds like relief when it's done?
There's no doubt relief is in there. When you don't win, the emotions are completely different than I felt in 2015, but there is a massive sense of, wow, we accomplished this. I'm so damn excited, but I need my bed for a while. but the excitement and the thrill and the, all that, you know, trumps everything. But there is a time where you're like, oh, I'm glad this is over.
Matt, when I came back from Tampa, I was just like, all right, listen, I get it. Everybody's excited. But I don't know, man. I just got a feeling like, I don't know. I'm still a little unsettled.
Sure.
After being around the Lightning for the past couple of days, after hearing stuff like that, after hearing about the altitude, after hearing how these players have been pressed about burning out this, that, the other thing, and after being around the Avalanche, who just stick with what they do relentlessly, I think tonight's going to be a huge night for the Avalanche. And I talked to an ice guy. I talked to an ice guy, Matt.
You got a guy?
I talked to an ice guy. And what he told me...
From where?
From here, Colorado.
Oh, okay.
A nice guy.
Not the girl who was all offended at you.
No, she's an ice bug.
Oh, so, excuse me.
The ice bugs, they
forgot about the distinction.
The ice bugs fixed... By the way, I came up with a great idea for them. Because there's like a million of them. Because their ice sucks.
Right.
And they fill in divots. I told her you should wear little antennas on top of your helmets. And then halfway through fixing all the divots, you should all dance to like YMCA or something. The crowd would love it. It's actually a genius idea. Now, this is like an ice guy. I'll tell you what he had to tell me, which again is another great sign for tonight. The big story of the day is the Avalanche poised to win the Stanley Cup tonight. This is The Drive on the Fan.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.